Let us now consider the fifth of these things pertaining to the Christian individuality. Your own vineyard. Our scripture is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 6, where we read, "Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept." Thus the believer's life is likened to a garden or a vineyard for beauty and for fragrance. Your own vineyard to be cultivated. Lord, make my life thy garden fair, in which such fruit and flowers grow as shall bring glory to thy name, thy power and grace and beauty show. And may I, by the Spirit's power, remove from thence each harmful weed, and seek to live for thee alone each day in thought and word and deed. This should be the desire of every Christian. A vineyard is for fruitfulness, just as a workshop is for usefulness. This is one of the many similes of the Christian life that we find scattered throughout the pages of the Word of God. We notice three things. First, the purpose of a vineyard. Second, the care of this vineyard. And third, the fruit from the vineyard. First then, the purpose of a vineyard. Why is a vineyard planted? What purpose did the owner have when he planted the vines in that vineyard? We are not left in any doubt as to this. For our Lord Jesus told a parable that concerned the vineyard. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. So that the purpose of a vineyard is fruit. And that is why God has saved us by his matchless grace. Paul, writing his epistle to the Romans, used these words, "For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life." Our Lord Jesus declared, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Without me," he declared, "ye can do nothing. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." Fruit is the proof of reality. For our Lord said, "By their fruits ye shall know them." And here the spiritual and devotional life of the believer is in view. The purpose of this vineyard then, which is ours, is that we might bring forth fruit unto God. Now notice secondly the care of the vineyard. Things in the vineyard are not left to themselves. Fruit doesn't just happen. It is caused. There is need of constant cultivation and care if that fruit shall redound to the glory of the Savior. Vineyards have enemies that must be combated, as every farmer knows. First of all, there are the little foxes that spoil the vines, that gnaw at the roots of the vine, and consequently spoil the fruit. Here are a few of those little foxes, which if allowed to develop, will ruin our fruit for God. A critical spirit, a censorious outlook on things, ultra-sensitiveness, wearing our feelings a mile around us, so that we are easily offended, very often by words that were not intended to convey any offense whatever. Envy, and the twin of envy, that green-eyed monster, jealousy. Sloth, or laziness, failure to appropriate the means that God has provided for our growth in grace and in knowledge. Doubt gnaws at the root of faith. Worry, that thin trickle of fear that meanders through the mind, which, if left unattended, will cut a channel into which all the thoughts and intents of our mind will be drained. Discontent, gossip, covetousness, all these are little foxes which will spoil the vines. Then we can think of the weeds. There's always an abundant supply of weeds, and no cultivation for these is required. The weed of pride, the weed of worldliness, allowing the things of the world to occupy altogether too large a place in our lives. Self-seeking, selfishness, all these are weeds to which we need to put the knife of self-judgment. Therefore, the need for constant cultivation and care. The vineyard needs to be fertilized. And we fertilize the vineyard of our life by the Word of God, read, studied, memorized, meditated in, and applied to our own individual lives. There needs to be the constant plowing. Plow up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. The ground between the trees often becomes hard. Therefore, the need to loosen that soil, make it soft, so it will receive the showers that fall upon it. Then there needs to be the pruning, self-judgment, applying the knife of the Word of God to the uprisings of the flesh, to judge all in the light of what God's Word has to say regarding these things. Then a vineyard needs to be watered, constantly watered, with the showers of blessing that come only from God, and which God delights to give in answer to the believing, earnest, effectual prayer of a righteous man. How much we need to lay hold upon God so that he will come in and by his mighty power produce that fruit within our lives that shall redound to his praise and glory. Now let us think of the fruit from this vineyard. Like the husbandman in the parable of our Lord Jesus, God seeks fruit in the lives of his people. Let us name some of the fruits which each believer should produce. First of all is the fruit of the Spirit, described in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. And this fruit of the Spirit has a ninefold quality: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Love, joy, and peace is the fruit that we produce Godward.